Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church. That would still be us, by the way. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages and world without end. And together we say, Amen. Amen. Exactly. It's always, for me, a great privilege to stand before you and have the opportunity to preach from the message of God. And as we do so today, I invite you to study along with us as we talk about finding balance. Finding balance. We had a phone call later in the week or toward the end of the week, about Thursday, I do believe, and it was our daughter calling to tell us that our youngest grandson was out on the playground and he was running and apparently lost his balance, tripped over something, fell and broke his arm. And they had him in the emergency room and they sent us a picture and he was swollen up and waiting on all of the things that take place with taking care of a broken arm. Well, we might all say that's just part of growing up, isn't it? How many in here broke a limb when they were a kid? Come on, raise your hand. Let me see. Nobody but two. Okay, there you go. Here comes. There you go. Some brave people finally saying yes, they did. Well, that's part of that. Some over here are waving. Did you break it more than once, Janet? Yeah, she's shaking her head. Yes, that's more than once. Yeah, okay. Well, when you lose your balance, things can happen, right? Yeah, exactly. I'm told, I don't know how many of you, I know when you have a baby, and some of you moms probably know this already, that as you're raising them up, and they're standing on your lap in service, and they're doing this, they're usually doing that on your bladder, right? Something about like that. That children, of course, learning to walk, it's not that they don't have strength in their legs to walk. They already do. They're getting really strong. The problem is balance. And so they probably, like our kids did, your kids did, they found the end table, they found the coffee table, and pretty soon they were doing this kind of thing and that kind of thing, and you were going, come here, out here in the open, and they took a step or two, you know, and eventually they were walking. Now, I want you to remember something that, you know, when that was happening, did they ever fall over? And how many times did you let them fall over? On the third time you said, that's it, you've had three tries, you're all done with your walking try. Now I want you to remember that because this is what we're talking about today. We're talking about living in balance. And the Scripture says a great deal about that. And in fact, this subject is just so broad that it covers every aspect of life in reality. If you'll just think about that whole thing. But I hope that I will maybe trigger some thinking for you about that concept of trying to have a life that is seen in balance. Our scripture today, 2 John verses 1 through 3, says this. You're not going to find the word balance in it, okay? But listen to what John is writing as he's the elder to a chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which remains in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In truth and in love. Now we're talking about balance. Isn't it interesting in his introduction as, and if you read the letter, it's a short letter. You can go ahead and read. I give you permission to read right now if you want to. And listen to what he has to say to her, to encourage her, and even say that he's delighted to see that some of her children are walking in the truth. I don't know how many children she actually has. None of us do. We don't really have much more information than what John has given us in this little introduction of 2 John. But the concept is the same. And what I'm talking about today, what I want us to talk about in terms of the idea of balance, is the idea of balancing truth and love, which is what we have in Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Hello? Out here? That's what we have in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Father, whom we will always have as long as we follow the truth, and we will have truth and love in Him. I know that you know that balancing is a great virtue to have. Both of these particular truths that we're reading about today are essential. Both of them are. The challenge always comes when we try to bring them into harmony one with another and balance them. Rosemary was working hard at the table last evening. We had spent the day out and about, and she had written a few checks. What was she doing? She was balancing the checkbook. I hope it was balancing. Right. At least to our good, anyway. Balancing the checkbook. Think about what happens when you don't balance the checkbook. That's not a good thing, is it? Or at least it can wind up not being a very good thing. We all understand how important that is. If you're a nutritionist, what do you tell those who follow you? They need to have a what kind of diet? They need to have a balanced diet. You know, you can't just eat donuts. I don't know who made that rule. I don't like it either. But you can't just eat the things you like only. You need a balanced kind of a diet. You need to approach it from that way. The Old Testament tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, even God makes a reference to this, that in Proverbs 6 and verse 11 there, Wayne, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All of the weights of the bag are in His concern. He's talking about a balance of life. He's telling us about how important it is for us to have a life like that. How we live together and with each other in our tolerance one to another, preserving the purity of the doctrine of Christ and the church while we blend together what is the emotional, kind, loving touch of Jesus, our Christ. Our granddaughter came to visit us this weekend, and she's rather funny. She's very talkative, and she talked about how she's having to learn how to live on her own budget. So I passed these little words of advice along to her, which I told her that her grandfather was telling her. I mean, literally, that was going to be true because I'm her grandpa. But I told her that if her outgo exceeds her income, her upkeep will be her downfall. Isn't that right over there, Tommy? You know about that over at the bank. Now, when your outgo exceeds the income, the upkeep's going to be your downfall. So that's what we're looking at. Why is it that these things are such a challenge to us? Truth and love. Do not be excessively righteous. Do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? This is Ecclesiastes 7:16. Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp one thing. Listen. It is good that you grasp one thing while not letting go of the other. For one who fears God comes out with both of them. That's what I hope you leave with today, was the idea of truth and love. This concept of balancing them. Now, why is it that that's such a challenge for us? Well, we tend, I think, to lean to one side or the other as people. And when we do that, let's say we tend to lean toward the love side, our tendency is to maybe not be quite as aware of what the law might have to say, or truth might be have to say. And we're heavy on the side of patience and tolerance toward other people. But when it falls within regards to our convictions about truth or the stance on truth, maybe we're not quite as diligent. I don't know how that affects you in your approach to trying to teach others. Kind of people who are going to ask you to lean a little toward the love. We have Pergamum and Thyatira as an illustration in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. I have a few things against you, says the angel of the Lord, because you have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam and who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. So you too have some who, in the same way, hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans, and therefore they repent. Therefore repent, that is, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will wage war against them with the sword of my mouth, says the Lord. They were struggling with this idea of making sure, or that is, balancing truth and love. Sometimes this kind of a group might say, come as you are. Yeah, that's the invitation. We want everyone to feel welcome. Well, that's true, isn't it? We do want everyone to be welcome. We want them to feel welcome. We just don't want them to stay that way, that is, coming as they are. We want to help them change, don't we? I mean, that's why we're here, so that we can grow and change and become different. But sometimes that just stays at a place where we say, we're not judgmental here. Whatever you do, well, that'll be okay. If you lean toward the law, for example, instead of now the love, someone leaning toward the law sometimes puts a little emphasis on the concept of love. And we are quick, you know, maybe to contend for the faith, as the Bible says in Jude 3, and maybe forget those verses down in 22 and 23, that say, have mercy on those who waver. Sometimes we're very strict with that kind of approach, and we're close to being judgmental toward them. You know, sort of says that, or has that attitude of, you know, sort of shape up or ship out. We don't want you to do those things. They're different than what we're used to. And while, my friends, there are good both of these approaches can have their good parts with them. It's good for us to have a deep love for the fellow man that leads us to patience and compassion, but not at the expense of the teaching of the Word of God, right? No, we wouldn't want that to take place. Finding the balance between the two is very important. That's why we come together and try to study and understand what there is for us to learn in concerning for this. In 1 Peter chapter 4, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. That's what love does, isn't it? That strikes our chord with that. Maybe that sort of helps us to find our goal with that. If you have an NIV, rather than that word fervent, it says, let us love deeply. Deeply. Let us deeply love one another. What does that just indicate for us? It's good for us, you see, to be fully committed to the truth of God and firm on the precept of the Word of God as well. So there are good things about both of these approaches that we have to learn to harmonize together, finding the balance. That's the idea. Commit ourselves to truth, stand firm on the message of God, but not at the expense of compassion and love. We don't want to forget how important that is. So we need to learn how to appreciate this balance. I'm not sure I know if I had a pill, I would give it to us to help us to be able to do that without, you know, any questionable doubt. But we have to appreciate this need for the finding of balance. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we have the words of the Lord who tell us the Word became flesh. John is recording this. And dwelt among us. And we saw His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. You see, we want both of those things, don't we? We want the grace of God wrapped around the truth of the message of God. Paul says it like this in the book of Ephesians. He says in chapter 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. That's the balance we're looking for. Paul will write in Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 14, we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everybody. You see how those are blending together? You see how that is bringing the balance together? And then when Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, skillful in teaching, patient when wronged, with gentleness, and correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may become, or they may come to their senses, and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by Him to do His will. Now let's talk for a minute where we are here. This idea of recognizing, appreciating the balance. There's two sides to this. That is that we do love everybody. We do want to accept everybody. We do want them to be able to come and feel comfortable with us. While at the same time, we want that opportunity to be able to teach them what is right according to what the Scripture says is right. In John 4 and verse 24, we are told that God is a spirit and they that worship Him must worship Him. Well, you know this verse, right? In spirit and in truth. We want to have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of kindness, the Spirit of love, and yet we want that to match with the truth of God, with what He wants us to do. And Paul is again speaking to him. He tells him in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and there at verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, be ready to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine or teaching. Why? Well, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what we'd like to hear. And while I'm the first to tell you that I love to hear the favorite passages, I love to hear the good things, I do need to hear when I need to be corrected. I do need to hear the truth of God to help me stay on the right path, to be living a balanced life. I don't want to fall down and break my spiritual arm. I had an uncle in 1952 who was a dairy farmer. I don't know, I'm sure that some of you had the experience, you know, long before really we had the round rolls of hay. Y'all remember bales of hay? And they were much more popular back then in those days. And at the dairy farm, they had a large, I'm going to say shed-like looking thing that covered over the hay, but you still had to climb up on the haystacks up there, I mean on the stacked bales of hay, and toss down the bales to someone down below or get them on a truck or whatever. Well, my uncle was up probably about 30 feet. And he lost his balance. And he fell, landed on his back. Now, the hay had been stacked on like telephone poles. Well, it caused him to be paralyzed from the waist down. He never did recover from that. But guess what? He lost his balance, but he went to the hospital, and eventually he came out, and he was in a wheelchair for the next 26, 27 years before he actually passed away. But he still served a risen Lord. He still had a very active life in a business that he went to school and trained for. And he was one of the happiest guys you'd ever know. I remember him as a small child that he used to, Jim, take us and catch us by his toes. I don't mean to pinch us, but he would grab our pant leg as we went by with his old wide spread out toes and drag us on the ground. And we would just laugh. We thought that was the greatest thing ever. Well, he never did that again. We didn't know Uncle Glenn for that. But we did know him for the guy that took us for a ride in the wheelchair down the ramp, what we thought was pretty good. He was trying to live a balanced life. That's all I'm trying to say to us today. Is when we read about the concept that Jesus is grace and He is truth, that He is love and He is truth, that there's a way to balance that so that we know that we are being obedient to God without beating each other up about it. Can I get an amen? Are y'all asleep? I'm just working on this. This is a new thought in my brain that I'm trying to get across to you. And I hope that it will, cause you to think some about the daily life. We have so many things going on in our life, especially lately, and they get our lives out of balance. We're too busy thinking about other things. What will happen if this happens? What are we going to do now that this has taken place? Well, I'll tell you what, whether you realize it or not, God is still on the throne. Jesus is still the Christ. Jesus is the one who loves you with all his heart. He gave his life for you. And that has not changed, and it never will change. Amen? Okay. I'm just trying to encourage you about that. I love this passage in Romans 13 and verse 8 where Paul is trying to help get across an idea that's very similar here. He says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Man, that is a powerful statement. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Now I can learn to understand better what my life is to be balanced with. Or in chapter 6, where he's writing, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed now from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine which was delivered to you. A balanced life. A life that's coming out balanced with the teaching of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, as well as the truth of God. You know, when John is writing this over here in 2 John, he's really very specific about who he's talking about. So I think that's another part about the concept of learning to appreciate balance. You have to know who you're dealing with. And when John is writing this, I want you to be encouraged that when he's writing this for us to better understand, he's clear about who he's pointing out. This text is not speaking of sinners who don't know about the truth. This text is not talking about sinners actually who are seeking the truth. I'm not saying it won't apply. I'm saying, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about new converts who need to continue teaching. Somebody to be with them and helping them to learn. Or someone teaching in error who is willing, or shall I say, willing to be taught, like for example, Apollos was. He was willing to be taught. Rather, John is writing about people, apostates, who had denied the truth that they had been taught. They were people who had heard the truth and now were denying the truth. You remember the Apostle Paul when he's writing in Galatians said, I'm just absolutely amazed that you are so soon removed from the gospel, which is not another gospel. If anybody preach unto you any other gospel than I've already preached to you, let him be accursed. That was what he said to them. He's encouraging us. And he wants us, you see, to take responsibility for who we are and for what we have done. When he spoke of the apostates, he says, many deceivers have gone out into the world already. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. And that is the deceiver and the antichrist. Those who deny that he's here. He's making it plain who he's talking to and what it is about. That should be easy enough for us to understand. At least I would hope that it would be. so that we could all take a personal kind of responsibility and emphasize that in our own life, so we can have a balance in our life. John, 2 John in verse 8, he says, "Watch yourselves that you do not lose what you have already gained or accomplished, but that you may receive your full reward." What is it that I always tell you? All you got to do is show up. Isn't that right? All you got to do to be a good friend is just show up when a friend needs you. All you got to do if you want to be a good Christian is show up when someone needs your help, needs to be taught, needs for, well, let's say to burden, the, unload their burden and be able to be encouraged by you. That's our responsibility. And what he goes on to say just basically says, it's much better done than in writing it. In fact, he's disappointed that he's just writing it to them. He hopes that one day he'll be able to see them and talk to them face to face. That's why, brothers and sisters, we always want to be able to have a good relationship with each other. It's good for us to talk about things that we think that the Word is saying to us. It's good for us to confirm that. But we don't need to be fighting with each other. We don't need to be all upset about things. We need to learn to live in balance with each other. We're not supposed to be quarrelsome. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. We're not supposed to be unpeaceable. We're supposed to be peaceable. So let's leave this place today and bring some peace to other people. Let's bring some balance to other folks. Let them see the balance in your life. And let truth and love have its influence on you. Jesus Christ, who's full of grace and truth. All of these things that should match together in our life and fit together in our life so that we can influence as many people as we can. You remember that old song, "Give me the Bible, holy message shining. My light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day." Did you sing that in Bible school somewhere, or VBS? Or we don't sing it in the auditorium much anymore. But there's where it was saying. It's what it was trying to get across for us. To live a balanced life. Finding that balance. Don't you wish you never had to worry about teetering over? That's why we have these rails up here. You know, people, so we can steady ourselves, right? Some of you are glad you got them, aren't you? Let me get an amen for that. Anything to give us a little stability. I want you to remember this could be Jesus, couldn't it? Come on. This could be the Lord, isn't it? Steadying me, going down the steps of life. That's what you and I should be for each other. Stabilizers. Balancers. Those guys that did the scales, they carried around a bag and they had weights in them. And they used those weights to measure whatever it was they were weighing out. That's what we ought to be. That's who we ought to be. Is the things that come along and help people to balance their life so that one thing doesn't outweigh something else. So we keep it level. So that we have the chance, the opportunity to encourage other people to serve the Lord our God. Well, I'm just scratching the hem of the garment on this thought, but I hope you'll take it with you today. We'll learn something about it and about ourselves. Think about your own personal life, where you have. Just think how good it would be for you to get things balanced out, where you spend the right amount of time doing the right things, that you make a deliberate opportunity to do something good, to go about doing good for others. I hope that's what you'll do. If you're here today, and we can encourage you to be responsive to the message, we invite you to come while we stand together, while we sing. Won't you come?